I love Jimmy and Sherry. Amen. Have for a long time. And if you guys don't, you will by the time this is over today. Just meeting his daughter. And we're cool. And her husband's got my haircut. So everything is... We are connected. But so, Jimmy, if you want to come, I don't know exactly how you want to flow on this. But this is Jimmy Bratcher. I just want to pray for you quick, man,
if I can.
Lord, thank you for Jimmy. Thank you for the history that we have together. Thank you for the history that he has with you. And thank you for this new chapter of history that you recently dropped in his life. And Lord, I just think you are all over this. Amen. And we ask for you to do what's in your heart today. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, I tell people my stories are all the same. And they all go like this. I can really mess some stuff up. And I have. And I've never tried to hide that. But Jesus always steps in. And by him stepping in, you know, the Bible says he makes all things well. He does all things well. And when it comes to our lives, that's the same way. In 1971, I was a selfish, out of control 17-year-old. I have family here, so my sister Patsy is here. My cousin Terry Bennett attends church here, so you can just ask them. They'll tell you this. They'll give you the skinny on Jimmy. And I was partying with a girl, and off and on, and one night she came to me and she said, "I'm pregnant." And to my selfish 17-year-old mind, I was not able to respond to that correctly. And so I did what sin causes us all to do, and that's hide. And I didn't hear anything more from her from that night. And Sherry and I came to Jesus shortly after that. Actually, Sherry and I got married after that. Y'all know our story. We met at a Black Sabbath concert at Memorial Hall. And we got married, and it was so bad that 3 years into it that my grandmother paid for our divorce. We wrote a book about it. It's called Granny Paid for Our Divorce. But Sherry and I had come to Jesus and started serving the Lord in 1976. And in the mid-80s, I was at a restaurant in Liberty, which is my hometown. And I saw this man that I recognized to be the girl that I had partied with, her dad. And he had these two little teenage kids with him. And I saw this little girl across the room, and I knew immediately that she was my daughter. And Sherry had asked in our first marriage one night, just randomly, she goes, "Now, you're not going to have some kids showing up or something, are you?" And I'm like, "Well, maybe." Which is a terrible answer, but anyway, I saw her, and so I found a payphone. For those of you that are young, that's a thing. It was on the wall. You had to put a coin in it and make a phone call. And I called Sherry, and we started asking the Lord what we should do about this, and his answer was wait. And so fast forward to 2009, I was in St. Louis, Sherry and I and the band. We were at St. Louis Family Church, about 6,000 people there that weekend. We told the story of how when Sherry and I were divorced that my son Jason wanted to go forward for prayer and a service because he wanted to ask Jesus to bring his daddy home. And there was a girl in the service. Oh, by the way, it was on Father's Day. And there was a girl in the service, and we didn't know her, and she didn't know us. But as soon as she got out of church, she was calling her big sister on the East Coast to tell her all about this fantastic church service that she'd been in. And she was going on and on about it. And finally, her big sister said, "Well, tell me this guy's name." And she said, "Well, his name's Jimmy Bratcher." She drops the phone, and when she picks it up, she asks her little sister, she says, "Do you know who this man is to me?" And she said, "No." And she said, "He's my dad." She had asked her mother when she was 8 years old because she recognized that she was different than all the other little girls. She said, "Who's my daddy?" And she said, "Well, he's got long, curly hair and plays guitar, and his name's Jimmy Bratcher." And she had always remembered that. And today I would like to proudly introduce to you that little girl. Her name's Jessica, and she's my daughter.
Hey, y'all. If you noticed, I brought up a box of tissues. If you don't have a hanky or some tissues or something like that, I'm sorry for your sleeve. So I did remember those things. And my sister was blowing up my phone. So she's listening to the story and hearing all of this stuff. And she is like, this is so cool. The music's so good. You're never going to believe it. And when she asked me, or when I told her who he was to me, she says, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm not doing anything. He hasn't had one moment of time for me in my whole life. Why would I bother? I'm not interested. He's never been interested. So thank you for sharing all that. I'm glad you know that about that. Let's move on. Keep it moving. We ain't going to hang out here for very long. What I didn't know is that she felt compelled to reach out to my mother and began to petition her because he didn't even know my name. And so my sister started pushing on her. About 6 months later, I'm sitting in hospice with my father-in-law, who had become a bit of a daddy to me. And he'd filled that place for many years. And he was dying. And it was moments before his last breath, before he walked into the arms of Jesus. And I had, you know, those moments we have with God where in the room it's silent, but we're screaming on the inside. I had one of those. And I said to him, I said, how dare you? What kind of a father are you? You're supposed to be good, and you're taking him from me? How dare you? Who's going to be my daddy now? And he breathed his last, and he walked into the arms of Jesus. And a year, almost to the day later, I got a Facebook friends request from Jimmy Bratcher.
So on February 13th, I'm trying to make sure I don't have a senior moment here. On February 13th, 2011, Sherry and I were in Christiana, Pennsylvania at Freedom Life Church. I was getting ready to speak for the ninth time that weekend. They really thought I had something to say. And I'm in the green room, and I'm getting ready to walk out for the third Sunday morning service, and I hear this voice in my heart. And the voice says, I'm about to change your life. And so I thought, well, hey, maybe I'll like get a real job or something. And, you know, with God, though, with us, we, you know, so I started saying, well, maybe Sherry and I will quit traveling. We've been traveling 23 years, maybe. You know, maybe we'll quit that. Maybe, you know, I'll pastor a church or do something. And, you know, we always miss the mark when we start dreaming like that, because the Bible says that he's going to go beyond, above and beyond all that we could ask or think. And I had no idea how radically what that statement meant, how just incredibly, you know, transformative that little, you know, statement, I'm about to change your life, means. And so we walked out. I did the last service. We got in a car and started to Philadelphia to fly home that afternoon. And I got an email from Jessica's mother, and it said this: it's overdue that you should meet your daughter and your grandsons. Her name's Jessica, and she's on Facebook. And that was it. And so I got on Facebook and sent her a friend's request.
So, where's my NASCAR people? There's one in every church. There's got to be at least one NASCAR person
NASCAR
in here.
People?
Okay, there's one. See, there,
yeah,
there's one.
Somebody's on.
Okay, there we got a couple. There we got a couple. All right, so it is the Daytona 500. The race is on, and I get a Facebook friends request from Jimmy Bratcher, and my husband is watching the race. He's got his wings, he's got his drinks, he's got the things, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like the Super Bowl of racing. He is in the zone. Baby, I need you to look at this. Woman, the race is on. Well, it's kind of important. I need you to look at this. And I handed him the computer because back then Facebook was not on our phones. And he said, ain't that your dad? And I said, yep. He said, what you gonna do? And I said, I'm gonna go to the store. I don't remember the drive. I don't remember shopping. But I came to my senses and I was in the truck with a truck full of stuff. And I'm really not sure what I bought, but I bought it. And I was hysterical. What am I supposed to do with this? Why now? My mom texts me, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. Are you crazy? And my sister's texting me, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, today I'm not doing anything. I'm going to go home and we're just going to figure it out. At the time, my life was in a mess. Leroy and I were not doing well. Our marriage was in a really rough spot. One of our kids was having a crisis. The dog died. Like, all this stuff was happening all at the same time.
It's a good country song.
It should be a country song. You should write it. It'll be on your next album called Tears in Our Beers. Oh, wait, that might have been done
music
already.
Music is my deal, okay? Stick to your thing.
Now I don't know where I was.
You were in a bad place.
Yeah, so we were in a really rough spot. And so for God to ask that of me at that time made no earthly sense. For the years since my father-in-law had passed, every sermon, every devotion, every time I opened the Word, God asked me over and over again, do you trust me? Will you trust me? Do you trust me with your whole heart over and over and over again? And I thought the answer was yes, because every time I read that, I'm like, of course I trust you, Lord, of course I trust you. Until I got this Facebook friends request and then it got real. Do you really trust me? And so for Dad, for the next few weeks, I was silent. Yeah. But for me, I had to answer that question. Do I really trust God with my whole heart?
And for me, after I hit send on that Facebook friends request, what happened was the reality of my decision hit me like a sledgehammer in the head. How in the world could I abandon one of my children? To this day, you know, I can only attribute it to my own selfishness, but I couldn't believe that I had done that. And so I entered into what was the deepest grief that I've probably ever experienced thus far in my life. And I, you know, the Bible tells us there are times when our prayers are made up of nothing but groans. And I was in that time. I'd wake up in the morning and she was the first thing on my mind. And I would groan out this prayer, oh God, Jessica. And that was it. And so we waited. And so on March 7th, the band and I were in Daytona at Daytona Bike Week doing concerts. And we just finished and we were eating dinner. And I got an email from Jessica.
So in that email, it took me hours with a little bit of help from my husband to type it. And I said, you know, the little girl in me wants to run to your arms wide open. And the woman in me wants to know where you've been and why now. Because, you know, I dealt with my emotions about you a long time ago. I knew you would never see me dance. You would never see me graduate. You would never walk me down the aisle. And I'd locked all those things away in a box inside of my heart. And I said, but you're here now. And it's not unwelcomed or unwanted, but it's hard. Thanks for showing up.
And when I read those words, thanks for showing up, I knew the Lord was speaking and doing something in this event. Because when people ask Sherry and I, well, tell us about your ministry, tell us about what you do, we always describe it this way. we have the ministry of showing up. We show up, you know, Christ in us, where we go, he goes, and where he goes, stuff happens. All we got to do is show up. And so I knew that God was up to something. So it started this just flurry of texts and emails, no phone call. It was just texts and emails, which, by the way, we have written a book called The Little Girl Wins, and in the back of the book are these gray pages. And those are all the texts and emails, word for word, that we exchanged with some proofreading, because I'm not a real good speller. And we started just this flurry. I got her first email, and I sat down. We were at Daytona, as I mentioned. We were staying in the house of this old biker dude named Drifter. And he had no furniture, so we had to buy air mattresses to sleep on, you know, lawn chairs. We furnished his house and bought him $200 worth of groceries. He goes, I've never seen this much food in my life. But I sat down. It took me 5 hours to answer Jessica's email. She had mentioned something and heard me email, and I wanted to just bring that back up. She talked about this little girl who was willing to run to me with her arms wide open. I wanted to talk to her. And so I closed my email by saying, Jessica, I hope that the little girl wins. I hope that little girl overtakes the skepticism of a grown woman and will allow me the opportunity to make up for the mistakes that I have made.
So this opened the floodgates. This now became a full-time job. We were not talking on the phone. We had not met in person, but there were texts and emails flying back and forth. And like he said, they're all in the book, but it literally became a full-time job. I could do nothing else. I could think of nothing else. I don't know that I was eating consistently at that point because everything was about, did I get another text? Did I get another email? And we began to share some history and some things of where we've been and what we've done and, you know, just beginning to unpack who we are. But while that was going on, I was also having to deal with that box in my heart.
You hadn't mentioned that up to now, so tell them about that. In the first email, she mentioned that she'd taken all of her emotions concerning me and put them in a little box. Did you say that already?
I did say that
you
already.
Did?
I did.
I'll shut up.
You're having a senior moment.
I'm having a senior moment.
Yep. It's all right. It happens.
I earned it.
Yeah. So I did have to pull all that stuff out, right? Because what God really wants to do is he wants to get back to the root of it, to the lie that we believed, right? He wants to get back to the thing that we're thinking about, that I'm not welcomed, I'm not wanted. I've been abandoned. I'm orphaned. I'm not loved. I'm not lovable. Right? And so for 38 years up to that moment, every time I showed up and there was a daddy thing going on where there should have been a daddy by my side, that lie has been re-cemented, reaffirmed, that I am abandoned. I am unwanted. I was not chosen. I was not in a family. No matter what was going on around me, that was constantly, that was the drumbeat. But this is the moment where when God says, do you trust me? He's asking you, are you willing to pull that stuff out and let me have it? Are you willing to let me shine the light of my love into that darkness and bring healing? Yeah.
Yeah. You want me to talk now?
I guess.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, you have a microphone, you probably should.
So as we started these conversations, of course, I called my cousin Terry, because Terry has a son that he met after he was grown. And I said, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I called my friend Dennis Slavens over in Antioch Church, and his first question was, how's Sherry? We were on the way to... So through that week, I'll get it together here in a minute. I'm getting my flow going here. I told Jessica, I said, you know, Jessica lives in Washington, D.C., and Leroy, her husband, and their four boys. And I said, you know, we're on the East Coast. And I said, if you'd like to meet Sherry and I, just name the place and time, and we'll be there. And so she said, okay, on March 14th in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is a couple of hours south of their home, we'll pick out a restaurant and we'll meet and have dinner. And it was an interesting moment. So we pulled around the corner and in the parking lot, and there was this humongous pickup truck, and her and Leroy standing there. So Leroy, I'll just introduce him formally. First Sergeant, Marine Corps, retired, Drill Instructor of the Year, Leroy Strong. And I see Leroy and I look at him and I go, he's packing. He's packing. And so we get out of the van.
So they are driving the band van. Like if any of y'all remember the White Pearl. In a Walmart parking lot, no woman is going to go within 500 feet of this thing because it's one of those vans, right? And they pull around the corner and I'm going, they're hippies. They're hippies. And then they got out of the van and it was confirmed that they are hippies. So they get out of the van. Neither one of us is speaking and they are walking up.
And I'm not going to say anything because I haven't heard her first word. And you know what that's like as parents. You want to hear the first word of your children. But I tell people it's like, you know, I won't use words like hi or hello and a greeting because I'm too cool for that, you know. Sherry says when I hit 70, I'm going to a whole nother level of cool. So I'm 69 right now. So next year, just you've been warned, okay? So I haven't heard her, you know. So like when I greet somebody, I'll do something like, hey. And so I haven't heard her speak. And so I walk up and I see her for the first time in person. And it's like I'm looking in the mirror. Right. And I'm waiting for her first words.
It was so awkward. Neither one of us is saying anything. And he's just looking at me. And I'm like, hey. I'm a hugger.
And she threw her arms around me.
Yep.
And we stood there weeping.
We stood there crying for a really long time. And at some point, somebody...
Mom or Leroy goes, hey, you know, we got reservations here at the restaurant. So maybe we should go inside.
Okay, let's go inside.
So we went inside. It was the loudest restaurant in Virginia.
Oh, my gosh. It was so
bad.
It was
huge, loud. And we sat down, and Sherry had brought Jessica a gift. And it became our family crest. It was a key ring from Lucky, and it had a guitar and a peace sign and a guitar pick and a heart and all kinds of other things. And we gave it to her, and It hit Jessica at a place because it took her right back to her childhood.
So it took me back to some of those places in my heart that had been broken for my whole life, that had been wounded, and reminded me of God's goodness in that moment, that even though I didn't know him then and didn't believe he was with me then, he showed me that he is not bound by time and space. Amen. And that even when I've felt my most abandoned and most alone, that he was with me always. And Dad, you reached across the table and you asked me a question.
I did. When I called Jerry, he said, well, I said, what do I do? And he goes, well, you can't demand anything from them. It's all on their terms. And so I didn't want to be demanding. And Sherry told Leroy and Jessica, she said, you know, we're not going to demand anything from you. We don't want anything from you. We're just glad that you've taken the time to let us meet and to be in part of your life. And I told Jessica, I said, you know, I don't want to demand anything from you, but I do want to ask you for something. When you grant this or if you grant it is entirely up to you. But I want to ask you to forgive me. And she reached across the cable and grabbed me by the arm and said,
"So we can't change the past, but you're here now, and we're cool."
Yes, you got the hippie DNA.
I did. It's true.
And that's where we started, was there. We talked for several hours. Leroy suggested that we go someplace quiet where we could talk, and we stayed there for several hours as they unpacked their lives to us and welcomed us into their hearts. So and go ahead.
When you guys drove up to the restaurant, Mom said something to you about it. So she, you know, there's a lot of people who...
Let me do that.
Yeah, you do that.
So on the way there, I had asked Sherry, I said, you know, Sherry, she looked at me and she said, you know, Jimmy, we have a great marriage and we have a great life and we have great kids, but something has always been missing. And Leroy and Jessica and the boys are it. And because my daughter Amanda was my personal assistant at the time, our personal assistant at the time, we felt that we needed to call and tell her and my son Jason what was going on. And because I didn't want her to just read an email and go, "What the heck is this?" And so we did. And Amanda's first response was, "Cool, I got a sister." And she asked Jason, "What do you think?" And Jason says, "Well, you know, we've heard all those crazy stories about Mom and Dad, and when they were younger, it's like, I'm surprised this hadn't happened before now." But Amanda then said the same exact thing that Sherry said. "We've had a great life. We have a great family. But something has always been missing." You see, after we met, Matthew chapter 1 started to make sense to me. Y'all ever read that? I know that's your favorite devotional.
The genealogies.
It's like, why do I have to go through all this? Well, here's why. God knows every seed. Every person is valuable to him. And he's not willing to forget about that. And the last prophecy of the Old Testament is God would place the solitude, the orphans, in families. And he would turn the hearts of the fathers to their sons and the sons to the daughters, sons to the fathers. And so we started. But we talked into the night. We got up that next morning, and we were due to get in the White Pearl and come back to Kansas City. And Sherry gets up and says, "Jimmy, this is wrong. We can't just walk away. It can't just be a one and done thing. We've met, that's great, goodbye, have a nice life." And so we waited, and just a few minutes after I agreed, I got an email from Jessica saying, "Can we have lunch?"
So
and we're like, yeah.
So we go back to the, so Leroy was working remotely down in Charlottesville, and we go back to his place that night, and he and I are talking, and he's like, "You know, we should invite them to lunch." So we did. And we go to Leroy's favorite spot, which was cool. Because Leroy, you know, you heard the Marine bit, but Leroy is a safety security, knows all the exits, knows where the perimeter is. You know what I mean?
Like, he's that. It's a lot for Leroy to be sitting here with his back to you.
He's that guy, right? Right? And he invites them to go sit somewhere else and talk, and then he wants to invite them to lunch, and we go to lunch and we have a great time, and then he suggests, "Hey, we should go, or you should take them to the house to meet the boys." And I'm thinking, I don't know who you are right now. But then God said, "Because I'm in it." Leroy was acting what was different for Leroy because he knew. Like, he may not have known, I don't know if he knew, but his heart knew. And so we did.
So
we invited him back to the house.
Yeah, so we drove up and got a hotel room and said, "Where are we going to meet?" And she says, "Well, how about we meet at church?" Just 3 years prior to this event, Jessica was invited to a church service by her son Aaron, my grandson, and walked in, and the first person she met was one of her party partners, who is now the director of discipleship at that church. And so we met at the church and got out, and Jacob was with her, which is their youngest. He was about 8 or 9 at the time. Oh, he was 11.
He was 11
at the time. And him and Sherry were like instantly connected.
And getting in trouble.
Getting in trouble in church. She brought him some bubble gum, and they were cutting up and carrying on. And so we walk into the church so that we can meet Aaron, who's my oldest biological grandchild. And there's Aaron on stage playing guitar in the youth group. And so we went back to her house. She said, "You have to come back tomorrow night and have dinner, because what family does.
You got to put your feet under my table, and we got to share a meal, because that's what family does."
It was an amazing thing, because we it was kind of smorgasbord, and we got our plates, and the boys all sat down, and nobody touched their food until everybody was seated, and thanks were given. And then after dinner, a miracle manifestation happened. The boys got up, cleared the table, and did all the dishes. What the heck is this?
Mama ain't playing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we went back to Jessica's house for Easter that year, 2011, and we were getting ready to go to church on Sunday morning, and she brought me a gift. And the gift was a daddy mug. A mug with daddy names all over it that was full of her favorite candy bar, Zero candy bars, which she had no way of knowing was my favorite candy bar. Yeah. And we're sitting there talking, and she puts her hands up on my face, and she describes what our relationship is like.
It's like you were always here.
It's like you were always here.
You know,
that's what it is. I want you to go back to one thing, and then we're going to have to close. But when we were in the parking lot, you looked inside your heart. Tell them that.
Yeah. So we're standing there in that awkward moment before we speak, and I got to pull that box out of my heart again. And I want to pull from the very bottom all the anger, all the deserved frustrations and the lack and the loss and the pain, and I want him to feel every minute of it. And I'm ready to pull it from I'm coming back. I'm winding up, right? It's time for a fastball. And God said, no. You said you trusted me with your whole heart. None of it was there. None of the anger, none of the abandonment, none of those issues existed in my heart anymore, because when I said yes to trusting God and meeting Dad and allowing our family to be reconciled, God healed me miraculously in that moment and said, you don't get to have all that junk, but you get to have my best for you, and you get to have your daddy.
One of the miracles that happened was 100% of our families said yes. My personal hero is Sherry. Because Sherry said yes.
And she loves me like she birthed me herself. She welcomed me into her home and into her family, but most importantly, into her heart.
And she gives you shoes.
And she does. She gives me shoes and purses and jewelry, and everybody should have a Sherry Bratcher in their life.
Mm-hmm. So we share our story. And we wrote the book for a reason, and that is that since this happened in our life, it's become to our attention of so many people like us that have a breach, a void, a hurt, an abandonment, dysfunction in their relationships. And the thing that keeps it separate is our fear, our insecurities, us saying, no, God, I really don't trust you with that. And so we want to encourage you, you know, whatever that is, wherever that pain comes from in your life, to be willing to allow yourself to trust God with it, and then watch what he does with it. We know not every story will turn out like our story did, but it might. And we've talked to hundreds of people that have done that. So we share our story to ask you this question, to do something.
Yep.
Do something. What? We don't know. The ultimate thing that you must do is hear the voice of God on what you should do. And then when you hear that voice, to respond to it. For some of you, that voice will say, like us in the 80s, wait. It'll say, don't do anything. For some of you, it will say, well, maybe you should kind of do the research. And for some of you, it'll be, maybe you should make the phone call. But for all of us that have had those hurts in our life, it definitely comes to the point where it must say, it's time that you forgive. Yeah. It's time that you give forgiveness, or it's time that you receive forgiveness that's being offered to you. And that's the most powerful thing that we can do. That is the hallmark of Christian experience, is forgiveness. That's the pinnacle of the life that we confessed in Jesus, is that we would be forgiven by God for us missing the mark, so that we could forgive others. And I can't tell you the gratitude that I have for that moment in Christiana, Pennsylvania, when God said, I'm about to change your life. He changed our lives. Our son Jason, who was always the oldest, he immediately adopted middle child syndrome.
And there are so many more stories about the things that have changed, the things that we have seen healed and renewed and restored because of one moment where we all decided to say yes to what God had for us.
Yeah.
You want to pray for these folks?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. If you'd please remain standing.
I'll do it.
Oh, I got it.
All right.
Don't boss me.
Okay. Well, then get on with
it. You're not to boss me. You know, for some of you, that voice might be saying, you know, it's time that you surrendered your heart to Jesus. It's time that you finally said, yes, I'm going to quit running. And, you know, for me, it's like my religious mind was, hey, you know, I qualify for the blessings of God the day that I received him forward in my life. But I never imagined that he would reach back into my past to a time where I didn't serve him or regard him in any way and say, you know what, I'm going to be who I am there too, and I'm going to redeem your past. And for some of you, it might just be the moment where you say yes to Jesus. So could we do this? Could we bow our heads and close our eyes? And if you're here today and you're saying, Jimmy, you know, I've never surrendered my heart wholly to Jesus, then today is the day. Now is the moment for you to do that. And so I want to ask you right now, if that's you and you say, Jimmy, I'm willing today, would you just lift your hand and I'm going to pray for you right there where you are.
Yes,
right
Lord.
There in this moment. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So, church, let's pray for these folks. Father, we just come to you today. Let's all just pray. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I come to you.
I come to you.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
A sinner.
A sinner.
I'm lost.
I am lost.
And I need a Savior.
And I need a Savior.
I want to experience.
I want to experience.
Your love.
Your love.
Your forgiveness.
Your forgiveness.
And your power
and
in
your
my life.
And your power in my life.
And I give myself to you.
And I give myself to
I
you.
Surrender my
I
will
surrender
to you.
I surrender my will to you.
And I give myself.
And I give myself
holy to you.
Holy to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's have a hand
Amen.
For these folks. God bless you all. Pastor John.
When I found out these guys were available for Mother's Day, I said, oh, good, that's going to be me giving the Mother's Day gift to everybody in the place. So we did. I can remember Jimmy telling me the story as it was happening, my first thing I said, how's Sherry's? And when I told Kathy about it, she says, how's Sherry taking this? And I said, she's a hero. And, you know, it takes somebody that loves enough. Scripture says the one who's been forgiven much loves much. Yeah. And that's really a super expression of that. So I know I told you guys this is going to be great. This is wonderful. So, Lord, thank you for being with us today. Thank you that you forgive us in ways that are beyond our understanding, but not beyond our ability to receive. And we embrace the love of God this morning. Yes. Lord, let us have it and let us give it away. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've had a good day. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day. Go enjoy it.